are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am your host, Jeff Garcia. I'm glad to have you back. And once again, we're having another Los panel debate. We did one a couple weeks ago. That one had two media members in San Antonio taking on a Spurs fan. Well, we're going to mix it up today. We're going to have two fans going head-to-head against each other on about four questions regarding the San Antonio Spurs. We're going to try to make it presidential style. Everybody's going to have 2 minutes each. And we're going to try to keep the interrupting to a minimum. I'm thinking Manny Pena is going to be the worst interrupter on this panel.
No.
All right, let's go ahead and introduce the representatives on this Los debate. On my left, we have Zach Escamilla. You know him, you love him. He's a big Spurs fan, a former writer at the Spurs Zone. Zach, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And are you ready to rep the fan base?
I'm ready, Jeff. Always ready.
All right. And then the other corner, I already teased him. You know him, you love him. It's been a long time since he's been on Los. I'm glad to have him back. Manny Pena, he is the go-to guy for all things movies, pop culture in San Antonio. Manny, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And, well, you know, you missed the first time I invited you on this, but, hey, you're here for the second one.
That's right. I had to make it up to you. So, yes, yeah. And you called me last minute, but you know what? I'm glad that you did. So, yeah, it's good to be back on.
Gentlemen, you have the questions above in front of you. You know what we're going to be talking. And Zach, do you mind if Manny goes first? You know, it's been a while since he's been on.
Yeah, by all means.
Okay. All right. Look at that, Manny. Zach's being a gentleman. Starting things right on the debate here.
Yes, sir.
First question in this debate is, should the Spurs extend DeMar DeRozan past this season if he picks up his option?
Based off of the play that he had in the bubble, you saw a lot more leadership there. And I don't know if it was because of everything that was going on that you just saw a different type of passion in DeMar, but it showed on the court. And there were a lot of games. There were a few games there, actually, I'm sorry. There were a few games there at the tail end of the bubble where, you know, they could have easily won. They could have won out. They could have played the Trailblazers in the game to decide who goes on to face the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I really thought that his play increased. You see his points per game. You know, it was pretty consistent, and how he was getting everybody involved, especially Keldon Johnson. I thought that the leadership really emerged in him. If I'm the Spurs, yeah, I would extend him. It would really be on him. It would really be on him and what he wanted to do and what his goals were. But if I'm the Spurs, yes, I would. If I had to choose between the two, right, between him and LaMarcus, I would focus on DeMar DeRozan.
All right, Manny, you have about a minute left. Any other final thoughts before I pass the mic to Zach?
No, I mean, I really thought that he showed a little bit more grit than he did when he was in Toronto. And I saw that on the floor. I really thought that he was that he came through sometimes in the clutch. Mm-hmm. So he took his game to a different level. And I think that with that progression, I think it, you know, there's nowhere to go but up with him.
All right, there you have it, Zach. It is your turn. The same question here is: should DeMar DeRozan pick up his option and play one more season in San Antonio? Do you think the Spurs should extend him beyond next season?
Absolutely not. Under no circumstance should DeMar DeRozan brought back. Now, I don't disagree with everything that Manny said, because I think he did bring up a lot of great points. Did he play better in the bubble than he did in the earlier season? Absolutely. Did he show leadership? Absolutely. He held a gun to my head, said I had to choose between him or LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm picking DeMar DeRozan all day long. So I don't disagree with some of Manny's points, Jeff, but here's the thing. The Spurs aren't going to survive an NBA season with DeMar DeRozan playing minutes at power forward. And the reality of that is he's a natural shooting guard. The Spurs have a logjam of shooting guards right now. If you keep DeMar DeRozan, that's going to eat into minutes for Lonnie Walker. That's going to eat into minutes for Keldon Johnson. That's going to eat into minutes for Derek White. So you've got all these other talented guard, maybe you call them guard forwards with Keldon Johnson and Lonnie, you know, give them a couple inches with the hair. Well, I know Lonnie doesn't have the hair anymore, but they got long wingspans. So if you wanted to, you know, stretch them out to play the three, you can. But the point I'm trying to make is the Spurs have a young stable of guard forwards that need to get minutes. You signed DeMar. That's the kiss of death. You are saying you don't really care about this youth movement, and you want to keep an aging veteran that still can't consistently hit a three-pointer. So for all of those reasons, in the words of Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, I'm out.
All right, there you have it, gentlemen. You've already made your case. Manny, do you have a rebuttal?
I don't think that it would take a lot of minutes away because DeMar DeRozan can be moved to the small forward position, and Keldon Johnson can play that too. Derek White could even play the two. Murray could play the two. So you can still shuffle them around. Now, and I know we're going to probably talk about it later, but if we he can't play that power forward, you're right, but he can, you know, but that's where we get that the additions as far as the draft, and we can draft somebody at that level. And I have a few ideas more or less where we could go with that. But I don't think that it would be a bad to have that kind of veteran, a veteran that has carried a franchise basically on his own with a little help of Kyle Lowry, you know, and take those Raptors to what they did in the East. So that's the part that's more vital. I think it's the leadership aspect of it and the experience aspect that can actually help the young ones develop.
And Zach, your final thoughts on this question?
I mean, I see where Manny's coming from. You know, I think DeMar's a solid player. He's probably an even better person. I like the guy, but you know, for me, he's just not what you consider a true modern NBA player. I mean, let's call it what it is. The NBA is a three-point shooting league. If you can't consistently be a three-point threat, you're not really going to help stretch the floor and help your team win a whole lot of games. So for me, he's just a bit of a dinosaur in this modern NBA. And at the end of the day, that's why, you know, I would let him go.
All right, Manny, you're laughing there. What's going on? What are you laughing at?
And I'm 33, well, I mean, so I'm old too.
I won't tell y'all how old I am. That's embarrassing. But he's right. You know, I get it. But sometimes you need those old dinosaurs. Sometimes, you know, to help balance out, you know, the youngins as far as their play, their maturity, on and off the court, stuff like that. You know, some of that stuff you just can't teach. So I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think that it is beneficial to have somebody like him to be that person to guide these young guys and help develop as well.
All right, there you
have
it.
Sounds like Manny's a fan of the Cougars based on that analysis.
Hey, but you know, you look at his play because he's a mid-range guy. He doesn't have a three-point shot. You're right about that, Zach. He's a mid-range guy. He still can take it to the hole, so that's good on his part. You know, John Morant is the same way. You know, he's not that big of a three-point shooter. So, you know, there are some players still that play that old-school type of ball too. And because the Spurs have so many branches out there in the league, I think that, you know, that's why you see guys like that. You know, guys like, you know, Middleton that can mm-hmm. pull up for that mid-range and occasionally come out for that three. So, you know, with Budenholzer and you know, Brett Brown, and you have Ben Simmons and all that. So that's why I say that he might be a dinosaur, but there's still a lot of people out there that still model their games after that type of play.
All right, there you have it. As for me, guys, no, I'm on the side of the Spurs should not. They're going to be big players potentially in that free agent market after next season, and that's a lot of money that they can throw at maybe a younger NBA star if they want to come to San Antonio. Right now, I don't see a star player on this roster, and I think they need that unless somebody has a breakout season among the young guys. But barring that, I think they should save that money and look elsewhere and just wish DeMar DeRozan the best of luck moving forward. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and move on to our second question here. And since Manny, you went first the last time, we'll get Zach to go first. Zach, is Luka Šamanić going to turn out to be worth the wait? Why or why not?
You know, that's a really good question, Jeff. And I wish I had a legitimate, honest answer on that. Right now, I'm going to go with the controversial answer of no. He looks like a deer in the headlights. And considering that there were some decent players left on the board, I know most Spurs fans were really banging the door for Brandon Clarke. Knowing that a player like Brandon Clarke was available that could have came in, helped right away, especially at the forward position that they so desperately need help at, and you draft Luka, who's the epitome of a project, I know he got a little bit of run late in the bubble. And that's another thing. The Spurs were playing all their young guys in the bubble, but Luka didn't see any run till the final game. And that was later in the final game. So for me, all those things are red flags, Jeff. And I think with all of that being considered, I just think the chances of him being that really solid player are slim to none. But I for one, hope he proves me wrong.
All right. So let's go ahead and pass the baton now to Manny. Manny, same question. Do you think Luka Šamanić will be worth the wait?
You know, to be honest with you, from a skill level standpoint, I would say yes. From a skill level standpoint, I would say yes. You know, he's got a lot of upside to his game. He does play that Euro type of basketball. So I do like his skills. The part that tears me up is his attitude and the maturity and all that. And that part is what, you know, especially Pop has, what, 2 years, you know, if that. And Pop has like 2 years, if that. So I don't think there's time, honestly. And I would probably just move on. I'm probably going to get beat up. That's fine. Yeah. But I just don't think that from a maturity standpoint, I don't think that he's ready. I honestly see him going back to Europe. That's just my opinion. I don't think that he'll take another year of going to the Austin Spurs. So it does not look good.
This is a question. I want to give it back to Zach here regarding Luka Šamanić. Zach, is the pulse of the fan base right now overwhelmingly yes, he's going to pan out, or no, he's not going to pan out?
You know, that's another great question. And I think you have a lot of folks right now saying, oh, yeah, he's going to pan out, but they're just, you know, hoping against hope right now. You know, it's kind of like that scene in The Dark Knight when Harvey Two-Face told Gordon to, you know, lie to his kid and say everything's going to be okay. So they're saying everything's going to be okay with Luka, but I think deep down in their hearts they know he's probably not going to pan out. And then, exactly, of course, you've got your other fans that have just been, yeah, we should have drafted, you know, Brandon Clarke. We made a mistake there. So I think if you were to ask fans anonymously, you would probably have most say it's just not going to happen. And I agree with Manny when Manny said that he does have some skills. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Spurs wouldn't have drafted him in the first round and used their first of two first-round picks on this guy. I mean, I think a lot of folks had Luka going to the Spurs at 29 and maybe a guy like Keldon Johnson going to the Spurs at 19, you mm-hmm. know, would have had it flip-flopped. So I think the Spurs were very fortunate that they were still able to get Keldon at 29, when realistically, unless another team like Oklahoma or Philadelphia really wanted Luka, you know, in the early 20s, you know, again, the Spurs really got fortunate by getting KJ. And if you're Luka right. doesn't pan out, I don't think people will care as long as KJ does.
You know, Manny, one more question regarding Šamanić before we take our first break here is, are you close to using the B word? No, I'm not talking about that word. I'm talking about bust.
Well, you actually got to get PT on the floor before you can be yeah. called that, you know, and he doesn't really have that. Now, if you're talking NBA, possibly, are you talking G League? No, he was not a bust in the G League. I saw some pretty good stuff from him yeah. in the G League. A lot of potential in that guy. He showed some good, like I said before, he had a lot of good skills, a lot of good games in the G League. But when you're playing up against professionals in the NBA, that part, it's just, you know, the skills weren't good enough to keep him on the floor, and more or less the attitude probably contributed to that as well. So it's borderline. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say yes to that. He's not Greg Oden bust, but You know, but I'm gonna just hold off on that one. I'm not ready to say that yet.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm on both sides. I think he does need more time. I do want to give him another season, maybe season and a half, to see what he really can do. I don't want to use the word bust yet, but I will use the word show me something. I'll use those words. I mean, show me something, Luca. He was staple to the bench, guys, for pretty much all of the bubble. You know, Zach,
right.
Pop comes out and says, we're going to go youth movement, and they staple him to the bench. Did that worry you? Did that concern you? Did that kind of raise your eyes and think, okay, what's going on with Luca here?
Yeah, absolutely. Like when you had Marco Bellinelli out there with, you know, Keldon Johnson, Derek White, DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, I thought, why on God's green earth is Marco Bellinelli getting run at all when this is about the youth movement? I mean, here's a guy that's probably going to go to the Italian League this summer. And you know, you got Luca there. You're already eliminated from playoff contention. You know, Luca's played with these guys in Austin. So why is he not getting any run? You know, the Spurs had zero to lose by putting him in the game. Mm-hmm. There was literally nothing at stake. So the fact that he didn't get any run until that final game, that was a massive red flag.
Yeah, it really was for me. And look, do the Spurs have that process set? Of course they do. We've seen it pan out. But for a guy that was their first pick in the draft last year to not get that much burn in the bubble – that was a little concerning for me. Hopefully, he'll have a strong showing in the preseason, whenever that is, training camp, whenever that is. But yeah, hopefully, he'll pan out. Final thoughts, Manny?
Well, you know, I heard an interview recently from Greg Popovich, and he stated about attitudes and integrity and stuff like that, and when they have people like, you know, that don't necessarily mesh with the Spurs culture, he said something along the lines of playing time is how you straighten that out, I guess, or you get rid of it. And that's why I said that as far as the, you know, the playing time and the attitude, because Pop will reward you with PT. I mean, that's just the way it is. He mm-hmm. will reward you with PT. And if you show him something as far as, any kind of substance integrity and all of that within practice, I mean, that's going to, he'll reward you by putting you out there.
Sure.
Unless it's like really a development thing and you really do need development, go to Austin. But when I heard that, it kind of related, you know, I saw the relation because of all of the rumors and stuff like that were going on about Luca in the bubble. So, but you know what, at the same time, bubble life was not easy for anybody. So, you know, the practices and procedures and safety protocols and everything that these guys have to go through, especially in the beginning when it's all mm-hmm. new, I mean, that's a culture change, a culture shock. I understand some people are made that way where they can, you know, be mature and go through it, and some people just aren't. So, I don't know. But, not ready to call them a bust, though.
All right, there you have it. We are done with the first half of this Spurs fan debate right here on Locked On Spurs. Once again, I'm joined by Zach Escamilla. Make sure to follow him on Twitter, which is, at Nerd Talk, right? Is that correct? At Nerd Talk 87. That's right. And, of course,
one of my favorite people on Twitter.
Hey, likewise. I you know, and I should have mentioned that, Jeff. Like, this is the first time I've interacted with Manny from the Good
Podcast. Oh, I did not know that.
Twitter.
I didn't
know. Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan. I'm subscribed to their channel.
Yeah, me too.
I tried to get Terrencio Miguel to follow me, but he refused. But other than that, but you know, no hard feelings. You know, I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but maybe someday he'll follow me.
And speaking of the Goods Podcast, make sure to follow Manny at the Goods Podcast and his YouTube show. I think just called the Goods Podcast, right? I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically the Goods Channel. When we have a lot of different content on there, you know, something for everybody. But my Twitter handle is at the Goods Podcast, so you can hit me up on that, and you can hit my partner Terrence at Terrencio Miguel on Twitter and at the Good Podcast on Facebook.
You know what's fun, Zach, is that a few times that I've listened to the Goods Podcast on the YouTube channel, I hear Manny calling me out every once in a while. I'm like,
well, because, you know, Manny knows that you're not a fan of
I know.
Star Wars sequels. And And I agree with Manny. You need to see The Rise of Skywalker just to, you know.
Just to get it over with.
Say you saw it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Maybe.
And speaking of movies, Jeff, I will say one thing that Manny has in common with me that very few people that I've met in my lifetime have in common is a love for the movie Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks.
That's right.
A lot of people,
best comedy of all time.
They frown upon that movie, and I don't know why. I think it's wonderful, and it was so refreshing to meet another fan of one of the best comedies of all time.
All right, there you have it. So make sure to give these two fine gentlemen a follow. When we get back, we're going to continue our Locked On Spurs fan debate, and we're going to be bringing up some questions regarding the draft and a couple of the young guns currently on the roster.
The Transformers will return after these messages. We now return to the Transformers.
We are back, and I am joined by Zach Escamilla and Manny Pena. They are representing the fan base right here on the second ever Locked On Spurs debate. Gentlemen, are you ready to begin the second set of questions?
Ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. I think it's going to go back to Manny now. Manny, you go first on this question. The NBA draft is right around the corner, Manny. A lot of Spurs fans are anxious. It's the highest pick in quite some time, number 11. But the question is, should the Spurs make a draft day deal or stand pat? Why or why not?
There's a part of me that says they should do a trade, but not necessarily with their pick, unless it came down to it. But I'm looking at that number 2 pick from Golden State. And if there's any chance that we could trade LaMarcus Aldridge to Golden State for that number 2 pick and maybe Andrew Wiggins, I would do that in a freaking heartbeat. You know, they don't really have any real interior pieces with the exception of Draymond Green. So I would say, you know, it would benefit both since we are, you know, we're still rebuilding, I guess you could say. That number 2 pick would be great. And on top of that, if I'm looking at it from a Golden State standpoint, are you really looking at this draft class as something that is going to be, you know, like, wow, it's going to be the best draft class? No, it's not that big. It's not that great of a draft class. So you really don't have much to lose in that point. If we didn't do that and we stand pat, then that 11th pick, I mean, we're going back to the college season this past season, you really didn't see anybody. You're going to be looking at, you know, you're going to be scouting pretty much early in the year, and then it's over. You know, so you really did not get a chance to see what's out there unless your scouts were really, really doing homework before, mm-hmm. before the pandemic. So I would, if I'm going to do a trade, I'm doing a trade with something that I already have, and that would be LaMarcus Aldridge.
All right, Zach, you are up. Same question. Should the Spurs stand pat or make a deal on draft night?
You know, I'm actually going to have to agree very hard with Manny on this one. If there was any way for the Spurs to package Aldridge, and even if you had to sacrifice one of the young guns, now I'm going to say Keldon Johnson is completely off limits just because I think he's got the highest potential to be a superstar right now. Even though I will say Derek White is probably their best all-around player right now, I just think Keldon Johnson has the highest ceiling out of any of the Spurs young guns. So outside of him and maybe Derek White, I think anybody else is on the table. And I know that's probably going to rub some folks the wrong way because we have a lot of people that love Lonnie, a lot of people that love DeJounte Murray. And this is certainly not a knock at them. This is, if anything, this is praising them, saying that using them with the pick number 11 and an Aldridge to move up to number 2, that's more of a recognition of the type of players they are, that it would be a sufficient enough deal to get the Spurs up to that number 2 pick. So if there was a way for the Spurs to do that, absolutely 100%. I've heard rumors that the New York Knicks are shopping a number 8 pick. If that's true, definitely look to see if you can, you know, dump some salary, maybe dump a Rudy Gay contract or, you know, sorry, maybe Patty Mills. I know that's going to upset some people. But point is, clear up some cap space, get a higher pick. Fantastic. But if the Spurs end up deciding to stand pat, which, as we all know, that's what they usually do, unless you go back to the Kawhi Leonard, you know, trade when they moved up with the Pacers and traded George Hill. So, I mean, that is a possibility. You know, George Hill was very well liked here, and a lot of people were upset. But, hey, Kawhi Leonard was part of a championship team. But if they do stand pat, as, again, I mentioned they historically do, I really think a guy like Patrick Williams should be who they should target with that 11th pick, because he fits exactly what the modern NBA is.
All right,
he's
Zach.
He's a combo forward.
All right, Zach, you know, you're the first one to go over your time limit here, so we gave you a little bit of a gap there in this debate. Manny?
Wait, do I get my time back?
Yes,
because,
Manny.
You know, he's –
all right. At least I answered the question, Jeff. At least I didn't, go off on a tangent about sand or something like that. You know, I just – don't you hate it in those debates where they're like – why don't we talk about sand? It's like, no, I'm going to talk about water. You know, it's like, come on, man. Stay on subject.
Manny, do you have any follow-up to what Zach had to say?
I like that Patrick Williams pick. I saw some highlights of him today. Actually, I did some homework on him. And, yeah, he is freaking awesome. A little bit of Jeff Green, maybe when Jeff Green was in OKC, but a little bit more athletic. Not limited as much when it comes to his speed and his footwork. So I like Patrick Williams a lot. Now, the one that I scouted today that I really like a lot, but it's really, really tough because we are so guard heavy, is Tyrese Maxey. That kid, 6'2", offensive player, like he is just a step up, just a tiny step above or maybe a little equal to Ja Morant. I mean, that kid is just awesome. He is fast, great transition scorer, low on turnovers, 83% free throw shooter, great shot creator. If there's anything about him is because he's so good in transition, it's the half court that kind of worries me about him, because being 6'2", in the playoffs, let's say they made it, he would get stopped very quickly as to where Patrick Beverly probably would not. So, and then when you have a coach like Tim Duncan to show him a lot more of as far as post play and all that, I agree 100%. Well, 95% with that when it comes to that. But yeah, Patrick Williams is definitely the one to go if we went that route.
You know, Zach, one more question for you before we go to our final question here is, are you a believer that the Spurs should draft on need or best available?
You know,
good question.
That is a great question. I mean, we all know they need either a bigger wing player, you know, that combo forward, a guy that, 6'8", 6'9", that can, step out, hit the three, but also, play defense on the inside. We all know they need that. They need that like O.J. Simpson needed Johnny Cochran. We all know that. No, that's not a shock to anybody. Stevie Wonder could see the Spurs needed that. But the point is, if there's that player, like Manny said, a guy who's a guard that you truly believe is going to be a transcendent player, like somebody that's going to come in and be better than what you already have, that you truly believe is going to be better than DeJounte Murray, better than Lonnie Walker, better than Derek White, and that's going to supplant them immediately, well, then I guess you do it, but you better have a trade lined up to get rid of one of those other guards so you can go out and still get that Patrick Williams or another big. So if you got a deal with the New York Knicks to say, okay, we're going to send you DeJounte Murray straight up for pick number 8, you hold on to pick number 11, you take that guard at 8 and Patrick Williams at 11, I'm fine with that. But it would have to be a scenario such as that where they're killing two birds with one stone. Because if they just came away with a guard – Spurs Twitter is going to riot.
Yeah, it will. The fan base will be up in arms, but you got to make sure if it's a situation where they do best available, that guy is going to be an impact player immediately and you can justify it. And yeah, if you got to move a Murray or a Lonnie or Rudy Gay or Patty Mills, then so be it. Because if they're going in a different direction, they got to do it full steam. And that's why I agree with any type of deal with LMA or DeMar DeRozan. If it's going to jumpstart this youth movement, go for it, man. Just do it. Do it. If you're going to get back,
what do you think about what do you think about a possible trade between LaMarcus for LaMarcus for somebody like Aaron Gordon in Orlando? Because that's been rumored.
I'm down.
That would, I mean, yeah, that would I'm be down. A dream come yeah. true. I mean, I listen. I would be hooting and hollering if that trade was made. But I just
I'm down. I'm down with it too.
I just don't know if Orlando is interested in Aldridge. But if they are, you know, I make that deal. Well, you know, twice, yeah. you know, every day and twice on Sunday. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but we all know what's going to happen, gentlemen, draft night. More than likely, as Zach mentioned, they'll stand pat and have another boring NBA draft. And we shall see. Don't forget, they have another pick in the second round. They got 41, a little late in the draft. But with this draft, at least people think it's not that great and not deep. Who knows?
I mean, listen, Quindary Weatherspoon was their second round pick last year, Jeff, and he got quite a bit of run in the bubble over Luka, who was their first round pick.
Yeah, that goes back to that whole Luka question earlier in the show. You know, when Weatherspoon, their final pick deep in the draft, gets more burned than Samanić, makes you kind of scratch your head and wonder what is going on. But we already addressed that. Maybe you guys want to bring it up in the final segment. But let's go ahead and wrap up. With the final question here on this Lockdown Spurs fan debate. Big Mandy, you went first last time, right? So it goes back to Zach. Zach, the question is simply this. This team is young. We know they're going to youth movement. And they got a bunch of young guys. They got Lonnie. They got Derek. They got DeJounte. They got Keldon, et cetera, et cetera. They got Quindary. But when it comes down to it, somebody's going to have to be that leader for the team eventually among this group of young guns. So the question is, between Derek White and DeJounte Murray, will one of those players become the next leader among the young players? If yes, then who? If not, then who then? I mean, how do you see White and Murray rising up to be that leader?
You know, to me, this is actually a really simple answer, and it's going to be controversial because I know how well White DeJounte Murray is. And don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of his as well. This is not a knock on him. But I think Derek White, as I mentioned earlier, is the best all-around player on the Spurs right now. And he's kind of sneaky old compared to the rest of the young guys. And when I say sneaky old, he's like 26, 27.
Yeah, he was a four-year guy.
He's getting close to he's getting closer to 30, but he's still considered young by, you know, NBA standards. But he's definitely got a lot more miles on him from a basketball perspective than DeJounte Murray or, you know, some of these other young guards. So for me, I see Derek White being that Manu Ginobili type of player where he can be very versatile. He can come play some point guard, play some shooting guard. You want to play a small ball, small forward, he could probably do that depending on the lineup. And he can come off the bench, be your sixth man, or he could be your starter. So I just think he's such a versatile player, and he's just such a great person. I don't know him personally, but just from all the interviews and everything that I've seen from him, he just seems like a really great guy and somebody that you would, you know, want to follow if he was the leader on the team. So I'm going with Derek White.
If you ever do meet Derek White, you get a chance to talk to him, just bring up Chipotle. He's a big fan of Chipotle.
Me too. I'm not going to lie. I love Chipotle.
He's a big fan of Chipotle. All right. Manny, a question to you now. You know, when it comes to these young guys, somebody's going to have to step up to be that leader eventually. And is it Murray? Is it White? Or is it somebody else? Your thoughts.
All right. If Derek White is the Manu Ginobili of this team, this era, then I'm going to have to say that the new leader or the leader that's going to rise up is going to be Keldon Johnson. I said that from jump on one of your first shows, actually, Jeff.
Yeah.
And I praise that guy so much, and he has not let me down at all. What he did in the G League, how it transitioned to the bubble and everything that was going on, and he still had elevated play. He paid attention to coaches. That was a big thing. Not saying the others don't. I'm just saying that for him being as young as he was and for him to be as mature as he is to handle that kind of pressure on and off the court, I just think that that's hot rod. that's Rajon Rodman's prime. That's going to be him. I just have that feeling, you know, and he has not let me down so far. The work that he is putting in right now, I mean, the guy's body is already changing to be a hell of a lot more of a Russell Westbrook almost type of build. So he's, you know, he has that it factor, I think. And when you talk to him, same thing, you know, the maturity, it comes out. So I honestly believe, and that's not a lot, like Zach said, it's not a knock on Derek White or it's not a knock on DeJounte, because DeJounte Murray's got a lot of freaking heart, a lot of passion. For him to come back from an injury like that is commendable. I mean, he showed a lot of heart. So nothing away from him, nothing at all. But I honestly believe that Keldon Johnson will be the one to lead the Spurs.
Yeah, it's definitely panning out. I've been fortunate enough to kind of get close to his camp over the offseason. And, you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes and how he's improving his game. And it's amazing. I wish I could get into details, but I can't. He's going to have himself a breakout season. If you thought the bubble was any indication of his potential, wait till next season. It's going to be amazing. The thing is here, gentlemen, is that Murray is slowly kind of, I wouldn't say fading out of Spurs fans' favor. They still like him, but it's not as strong anymore. Are you picking up that vibe, Zach?
I don't know if I'm necessarily picking up the vibe of fans not really digging him anymore, but I think do have more fans.
Maybe I'm being too hard on that. You know, it's not that they don't like him. Of course they do. They love him as a Spur, and I get that. It just seems that he's almost like slowly becoming, remember the time, Zach, when he was almost untouchable, and now he's not now.
Yeah.
Spurs fans, I mean, what happened?
Well, that injury didn't help.
That's true.
Well, that and the emergence of Derek White. You know, when DeJounte Murray first got injured, there were still a lot of question marks around Derek White. And then Derek White came in, balled out, played extremely well in that 7-game series against Denver. And, you know, the type of offensive potential that Derek White has shown us, we haven't quite seen from DeJounte Murray yet. And I think that's why you have, you know, more Spurs fans open to the idea of dealing Murray if it gets them something else because of Derek White.
Yeah, we shall see.
I also, Jeff,
go ahead.
Just real quick, I just wanted to say I agree with a lot of what Manny said about Keldon Johnson. You know, as I had mentioned earlier, Keldon Johnson has the highest ceiling of anybody on the team.
That he does.
Again, I still do believe Derek White, you know, at this time, you know, October 2020 is the best all-around player on the Spurs roster. But Keldon Johnson in another year or two will probably be the best player on the roster. I still think Derek White will be the leader of the team, just like a lot of folks say Patty Mills is the leader right now, because we got to remember – just because you're the leader of the team doesn't always mean you're the best player on the team. So I do think that Keldon will eventually be the best player. He probably will be a leader, but today and maybe for another year, it's probably going to be Derek White.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is going to be Derek White, slowly but surely. Not to say that Murray's not going to have his leadership moments, but just overall, you know, White sets the tempo. He seems to show by example. I mean, how many charges did he draw in the bubble? I mean, how many? I mean, he lost a tooth, or he chipped a tooth. You know, the guy plays fearless, and that's where you get somewhat of the comparison between him and the style that Manu Ginobili played with that reckless abandonment. So it's good to see. You know, hey, this is a good problem for the Spurs to have. It really is. You know, two young guys willing to step up and be a leader. I mean, I'll take it. But somebody's going to have to be the alpha eventually. You know, you can have co-alphas. But I think the Spurs are in a good spot right now with these two young guys. And Manny, quickly, the Matrix should have gone to Ultra Magnus and not to Rodimus Prime. My opinion there. Well, and guys, he got robbed.
I got to say, I have a confession, and both of you are going to be so disappointed in me. But
that
I
you don't like Transformers the movie.
I've never seen Transformers the movie.
All right, let's do. Now you got to leave now, Zach. Go watch it now. Right? You're missing.
I was born
out.
In '87, y'all.
You're missing out.
That's worse than Jeff not seeing Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, come on! You cannot compare those two movies to each other. No way. All right.
Okay. I got it. Okay, let's make a deal here. I will watch Transformers the movie if Jeff watches Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, you're killing me, Zach. I'll answer that on after the break.
Is that fair, Manny? Is that fair?
That's fair. That's fair. You got to do it.
I'll answer that question when we get back from break. When we do get back from the break, it's going to be the chance now for both Manny and Zach to give their final thoughts on anything. Could be about the questions, or it could be just about the Spurs in general. So get them and keep it to the Spurs. Zach, I know you want to talk about Nick Cage and all his glory, but you can't do not do that in the final segment. So again, when we get back, the final thoughts from the panelists, Manny Pena and Zach Escamilla.
The Transformers will return after these messages. We now return to the Transformers.
We are back, and I am joined by Zach Escamilla and Manny Pena. They are representing the fan base right here on Locked On Spurs on this Locked On Spurs fan debate. Gentlemen, you guys knocked it out of the park. You got some good takes here. But it's time to give your final thoughts. Now, it could be anything about what we discussed so far in the show, or just something that we may have missed about the San Antonio Spurs. I guess, Manny, you'll get first crack at this. Go ahead, take it away.
Well, when it comes to the Spurs, I think that, they actually still have a lot of upside. A lot of people are kind of falling asleep on them, but they have some of the best executives in the league. And some of the best scouts. They consistently have draft steal after draft steal. So I honestly believe that they're going to do well as far as this year and moving forward. I know that there's a plan in place. The challenge will always be that this is not a destination, but if real ballers are interested in, you know, substance and culture, then they will come over here, you know, on their own will. So, but yeah, things are looking good for them. I do want to say something that's completely separate from basketball. That's okay.
Go ahead.
I want to say to anybody that's listening and that goes to the movie theaters. Movie theater industry is in a rut right now, and the pandemic is not helping things. We need help. The movie industry needs help. The movie theaters, the employees, everybody. Regal just closed. AMC's on the brink. We have a local theater that's doing well here, but we need help. And I know that the safety protocols and everything that are going that's out there, as far as the theaters, are really, really well done, very well executed for the most part. And I just want to throw a shout out to pretty much everybody affected by the Regal closings and by any furloughs or anything with the movie industry, because we cannot let the movie theaters die. There's too many generation after generation that have gone to movies, that have experienced it, that have, you know, whether it's a scene, music, score, anything that will always, you know, have something inside that reminds them of how awesome cinema can be. And we need to keep that going. So I just wanted to take some time to shout out to the movie theater industry and the employees.
Yeah, here, Manny. You know, back in my younger days, I used to work in the theater. I used to work at the old Century South Theater on the Southwest Military Drive on the south side of San Antonio. So yeah, you know, as everybody knows, you know, I love movies. I love nerding out. You know, love going to the theater, and I totally agree with Manny. If you can help out the theaters, that would be great. Manny, you think it's because there's like the whole idea of the COVID thing, and you think that's what was keeping people away?
Honestly, I believe from experience, I believe that it's more of a studio thing, studio worry, marketing, money, stuff like that. I believe that's the root cause of all this, because a lot of movie theaters are willing. They're willing to be open. They're willing to put it out there. They're willing to take the necessary precautions to ensure safety in front of everybody, you know, for everybody to enjoy and give us that bit of normalcy. So I honestly believe that it's more of the studio. And if it is that, then simultaneous releases is not a problem. If you release something, let's just say Wonder Woman, you release it on video on demand or HBO Max, whatever, at a premium price of 30, 40 bucks, mm-hmm. go ahead. But don't rob anybody experience of enjoying it at theater. Let people have a choice. You know, let people have a choice on whether or not they're going to watch this at home or at the movie, or hell, maybe even both. So, but I just think that it should be given a chance. Mulan just recently came out. It's close to over $300 million, you know, as far as the streaming goes. I think it's safe that you can put it out now. Disney should put their stuff out now, you know, so people can experience that type of epic on the big screen. So there are so many things that they can do. It's just not happening. Movie theaters are forced to close because of lack of content. So yeah.
All right. Make sure.
I agree with Manny 100% there, Jeff. I just wanted to add, I need Sony to release Ghostbusters Afterlife immediately.
And
Disney needs to drop Black Widow ASAP. And the other big one, I want to see Wonder Woman from Warner Brothers. So I think it's kind of like one of those, if you build it, they will come. If you put it out at the theaters, the diehard fans are going to go see it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Zach, your final thoughts on this silver and black before we put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs.
You know, my final thoughts are coming around Greg Popovich. What is he going to do? Right now you have Will Hardy being considered for a couple of head coaching jobs. He's a young coach. He's definitely sought after for a reason. You have Becky Hammon that's being sought after for potential jobs this year. And, you know, the Spurs are losing a lot of talent because Coach Pop wants to continue to coach. And Coach Pop deserves the opportunity to stay as long as he has. You know, winners get to do what they want. You know, Mike Taylor show, you know, Mayor of Sports San Antonio always says that winners get to do what they want. And I agree with that to an extent, because right now Pop doesn't have anything left to prove. And if Will Hardy or Becky Hammon, one of these coaches on the staff right now, has a chance of succeeding Pop, Pop needs to, you know, go retire with his wine and just call it a day, man. I think, you know, the danger of Pop holding on too long is some of this young talent that they have on the coaching staff is going to be gone by the time he does decide to call it quits. And I just think it's time to start fresh with the new generation. And I know that's going to be very controversial. Folks are going to think I'm crazy. Say, how can you say that about Pop? And it's not a knock on Pop. It's just all good things must come to an end. And I just think it's time for a fresh start for the franchise. And that starts at the head coach position as well.
I don't know anything about his future in San Antonio, but my gut feeling tells me that we could be witnessing the final season of Popovich whenever this new season begins. There he has that. Adam Silver already announced that the season is not going to stop for the Olympics. So what does that do to his plans? Does he want to just jump right from the season right to China? You know, that's travel, you know, going out there to coach. You know, so there's a lot weighing on him. And I do agree, you know, you're going to have to turn the page eventually, whether that be even Tim Duncan taking over the reins. I doubt it. But, you know, somebody eventually is going to have to step up. Those are big shoes to fill. Hopefully whoever.
And you know, Jeff, as much as Timmy – you know, I think fans would love it if Timmy was the next head coach, because, I mean, this is the man who is responsible, you know, primarily responsible for the five rings next to Greg Popovich. I mean, Tim Duncan was the franchise. And I think, well, whoever the next coach is probably has to be a big personality or a big name. Yeah. And although Tim Duncan isn't what you would call a big personality, he is a big name. He's one of the greatest NBA players of all time, bona fide. Top five best player, greatest power forward of all time. You know, the accolades go on and on. So, you know, the star power would be there, although his interviews, I think, would be hilarious because it's Timmy. But, you know, one thing I do want to say in kind of like a closing thought, I know Manny gave a great appreciation for the movie theater industry and those that have been affected, you know, financially. And those of us who are just, you know, fans of going to the movies, like, it sucks, you know, but I agree with everything Manny said. Hey, if you can go out, support your movie theaters. I know they're showing a lot of Halloween movies at Santikos right now, like Beetlejuice, you know, the classics, take advantage. But what I do want to say without, you know, getting, you know, political here, I know we're in a voting season right now. People are starting to early vote. There's an election in November. You know, everybody knows that. I just want to say that I know there's a lot of division right now in this country. And no matter who wins, I know there's going to be people that are going to be upset. But one thing that we cannot do, and I need to do a better job of this myself, is start attacking people for their political views. Treat everyone with respect and just, you know, in the words of Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other. Because, you know what? That's the only way we're going to make it out of this pandemic. This is the only way that, you know, humans are going to be able to move forward, you know, and progress is by being good to one another, treating others the way they would want to be treated. I know it sounds like kids stuff. It's a lot of stuff that, you know, we've been taught since we were kids, but I think those values still do hold true today, where we can all learn to be a little kinder to each other, regardless of how much we may disagree with one another. We just need to all do a better job of just, again, words of Bill and Ted, just be excellent to each other. And I think the world will be a better place.
Hear, 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 hear. I agree with you. And to answer your question, Zach, yes, I will watch the final Star Wars if you watch the old school Star Wars animated movie.
Okay. That's
well, we're gonna have to do it like this. Like, we have some sort of watch party. I don't know, Manny, you can organize that, or Zach, you're good.
We'll figure out the logistics, but I mean, I'm game.
Well, I know y'all are. I know y'all are going to be waiting to see me flip my computer over the floor and stamp on it. But I'll definitely.
Yeah, no distractions. Let Zach enjoy the Transformers movie, and don't, you know, if you do a watch party and you start with your comments already, and don't even, like, the credits barely roll, the world crawl barely out, and you're already talking trash.
Right.
You know, the opening crawl, right? The first sentence, just the like first I'm, sentence, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just going to say, you know, Luke Scott, and it was to say Ray, whatever her she is, you know, what is she anyway?
I'll just tell you a part. It says Palpatine lives right there. You're
right
done.
There. I'm done. Yeah. Done. Right there. Done. I mean, that just made my skin crawl right there. Yeah, the guy plump. Okay, I'm not going to start. All right, so here we go. Thank you for everybody who tuned into this episode of Locked On Spurs, or this Locked On fan debate. It's been great. You know, I want to thank Zach Escamilla. Once again, Zach, tell everybody how they can chat with you.
At NerdTalk87.
Exactly, and give him a follow. Even though he is no longer writing for the Spurs Zone, he does help me out. Zach, I want to personally thank you for helping me out behind this.
No problem.
Well, Manny Pena from the Goods podcast and the Goods YouTube show. And Manny, I still have one more question for you, though.
Okay.
Why is Optimus Prime a punk?
Optimus Prime is not a punk. Optimus, you know, I can't even really get into it since Zach hasn't seen the movie. So I'm not going to get into it, but he is not.
I know what happens to him. Because Jeff talks about it all the time.
I just don't know what the, you know, they made him look like a punk. That one, I completely agree.
Bad.
But even though I do say, and I agree with Jeff, that Megatron won the fight in the 86 movie, he was still not a punk. He showed a lot of grit. So I'm not going to say nothing about that. But
I saw the Michael Bay ones. I saw Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah, those don't exist, too. I maybe give him a pass for the first one, but the first one was okay.
Megan Fox was in it, so I enjoyed it.
Hey, I'm sorry, but I like Dark of the Moon. I thought Dark of the Moon was awesome, so I don't fight me on that one.
Yeah, no, by the way, isn't it very, since Zach, you didn't see the movie, the 86 movie, but Manny, isn't it weird how it came full circle for Leonard Nimoy? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. He played what's his prime?
Galvatron.
Played Galvatron. Thank you. As the enemy. And then in the Sentinel. Yeah. And then he became Sentinel Prime, who turned into the enemy. So I thought that was pretty poetic. I'll give Michael Bay that, for you incorporating Leonard Nimoy as, again, the villain of, the Transformers universe. But yeah, Manny, man, Netflix made Prime look like a, you know what? Bad.
Yep, absolutely. Bad. I agree 100% with that. I got beat. I made a comment on it. I got beat up for it. It's a prequel, or it's a, you know, it's early before he was the main leader, and this and that. Like, everybody's like, all these apologists came out, but I'm sorry, that's not my prime.
That wasn't, yeah. I mean, okay, fine. You want to make him a little bit softer because Megatron was more of a warrior than Prime was. Okay, I get that, but that was just, I mean, just overboard, too much. I mean, they didn't give him anything to really stand on something.
I know, it's this generation, man. First they kill, that's not my Luke, and now it's not my Prime.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now that this episode of Locked On Spurs went off the rails, I was going to put a wrap on this. Once again, thank you for listening to Locked On Spurs. And if you want to participate in the next Spurs fan debate right here on Locked On Spurs, make sure to get a hold of me, and you know how to do that. Go to Spurs Zone News Force San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com and subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. So for Zach Escamilla, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.